couple more minutes. Nothing but the blood. Kingdom greetings to all of you. Yeah, and I pray that today you are encouraged. And yeah, let's take some time to pray for our country. Let's do that now. You want to do that? You want to pray for our country? Let's do that. Go ahead. Just lift up your voice. Just pray. Just pray. I invite all of you here to pray. Say something. Father, you said you charged us to pray for our land. And right now we mention the name of America before your throne. Our country needs you. Lord, I pray that you would release a spirit of repentance. Father, I pray for those in authority. This is what your word says. It says, pray for those that are in authority so we could live in peace. God, we also pray against the spirit of COVID-19. This type is coming around, is going around. Lord, we apply, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the doorpost of our lives. Yes, no weapon. Sickness, COVID-19, diseases would not affect us. And even if it affects us, it won't kill us. That's it. Because, Father, this is the promise you have over your people. And we are your people. We are called by your name. We are the sheep in your pastures. Thank you, God. Father, we pray for people that have been affected. Maybe some of them are being admitted to the hospital. Lord, we ask that your healing touch, divine touch, would touch them. Lord, we pray for the doctors, the nurses. Give them the strength and the ability. Cover them to do the things they do. Father, we also pray for the craziness that's happening everywhere in the world. Lord, we just invoke your name. I pray that you'd strengthen your church, that our hearts would not get worried or troubled, but we would put all our faith in you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Virginia Beach. We pray that people's heart would turn to you. Send us revival. However you're going to do it, keep us desperate. Make us and keep us desperate. Desperate for you, Lord God. Father, as I open your word this morning, I pray in the name of Christ that the Holy Spirit would take what belongs to you and reveal it to our hearts. Thank you for listening to our prayers. For in the name of your Son, we make our petition to you. And if you agree, you said, Amen. All righty. this morning I was talking to Captain, and all of a sudden he's talking about we're the church. I'm like, dude, are you reading the screen? Yeah, he didn't know, but this morning, I want to take some time to talk to you about we are the church. And guess what? That's who we are. This is no new news I'm coming to tell you. This is not new news. You already know this news, all right? It's the good news. This is the good news. We are the church. So, I tell people all the time, stop focusing on the building. You know, one of the reasons I come with this, probably in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about the church and probably kingdom perspective on membership. Because this is something I've been talking to some of you guys, but I want to do a membership. But I know some people, they're afraid of membership. It's like, oh, I don't want to be a member or anything. This is not a club. I'm a member in the kingdom. So we will talk about it. We want to make sure that you know what it's about. This is Lenstown Community Church. It's not a club where if you're not a member, you're not part of it. this is not what we're going to do, okay? Just relax. Don't have to panic. It's going to be awesome. All right? Because once you understand what the church is, you want to be part of it. I want to be part of the church. I am part of the church, because one of the, I don't know if you ever have friends with friends with benefits, but in my personal experience, I have people who wants to be my friend just because of what I can give them or what I can do for them. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have somebody like that in your life. Somebody who just wants to be your friend. I mean, they don't really care, but they don't really care about you, but because you can serve them, you can help them, you think they love you or you think their loyalty is genuine. And it's always heartbreaking when you find out you were the only one that was giving into that relationship. Right? Right. I answer right, because that's my personal experience. But think about it. Why would it be okay for me as your pastor to be fully committed to you, not knowing if you're committed to me? Oh, okay, all right. Why would you have a friend? You like, I am there for you. All the time, anytime, whatever, rain or shine, snow or summer. Man, snow might come next year. I told some of you, you can laugh at me when it's cold, but right now it's my time. But you know, why would I even consider to really develop a good friendship with somebody who's just gonna suck the life out of me? People like that, you should just have what they call acquaintance, right? Just like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you, all right? See you later. This is not somebody you hang out with, you know, you don't take them out, you don't do, because they're going to do this, tick, 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 tick. You see, what a church looks like, sounds like, are negotiable. But when it comes to non-negotiable stuff about the church, we need to understand, and I'm calling you to really put emphasis, to just like write that in bold Bibles or notebook. The church is not a building. The church is not the building. You see, now I understand in the past there are things that happened here in this place. Some people got hurt. The church hurt people. You know, it grieves my heart. It grieves my heart when somebody leave the church because of conflict. I've been been in pastoral position, in lead pastoral position for 11 years. By the grace of God, I never had anybody that left my church because of conflict. You know why? Because I fight for relationship. Oh, you're going to leave. But before you leave, we're going to pray for you. We're going to bless you. We're going to cry to see you go. Right? That's the way it should go. It should be. Because Jesus, he fights for relationships. Jesus fight to be with us. Think about it. Jesus, one day, him and the Father was talking in heaven, and it was during that 400 years period from Habakkuk till Matthew. All right? Now, I'm not saying this is just my imagination, okay, guys? My imagination, I'm like, Jesus and the Father is having an awesome conversation, and Father's like, man, I miss my people. Man, they're dying. And Jesus says, well, Father, why don't I go? And God's like, no, no way. Why would I let you do that? You know, conversation goes on. Finally, the love of God for us is so deep. God said, you know what? Son, when I really think about it, I love him so much, you would be the ultimate sacrifice. You would be, he said it on the cross, it is finished. So what he came to accomplish, he came to give you and I something to belong. You know, and I tell you, I wish I could tell you what's in my heart. I'm trying. It's an awesome thing to feel like you belong. I'm not going to bail on you. It's an awesome thing to feel, to know that you are in a relationship that no matter what life throws at the relationship, we'll never divorce each other. That's not just marriage, husband and wife. It's friendship too. God hates divorce. We're not talking about husband and wife divorce. You have friendship divorce, like rupture. And you see the same thing happen to the church. People get hurt and they divorce each other. And you're like, come on now. What happened to those 15 years we had together? And all of a sudden you're going to throw those 15 years away because some dumbhead misrepresented Jesus Christ? You don't do that. That's why I'm calling us. We are the church. Christ is the builder. Jesus is the head. We don't follow people. It grieves my heart. It's killing my heart when someone's telling me, well, because so-and-so did so-and-so, what so-and-so did this and that, I'm not going to come to church anymore. You never understood the church. Jesus is the head. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 21, it says, Christ, give us an example to follow. Jesus, give us an example. Me as a preacher, as a son of God, as a pastor, I am called to follow Christ. I'm called to keep my eyes on Christ. I'm called to dwell in the Word of God, to know how Jesus does it. So now, just like Paul said it, I am going to follow Jesus because I'm following him, I am going to behave like him. So now, since you are following me, I tell you, watch what I do. But don't keep your eyes on me. Because we all should keep our eyes on Jesus. This is it. Don't look at me. I'm not your example. Christ is. Oh, I live every day to be like Christ. I live every day to represent him. It hurts my heart when I hear, you guys, right now the internet's crazy. News about pastors, preachers, prophets, people that have been called on the front line. Sin killed them. Prostitution, those guys, they prostituted themselves. The spirit of perversion, they never repent. So therefore, they lost not only their ministry, their family. Well, we pray God restored them. But you know, we have been called, the Bible says, those that have been called in the office to lead the church should be above reproach. Not because we're perfect, no. But I should be above reproach. So therefore, you know what I do? I have accountability. My first accountability partner is my wife. And then I'm surrounding with my leadership, my head covering, Kenton, Lloyd, and Ernst in Haiti. And then I've got my leadership guys. You know, we talk. I've got my Timothy kind of guy. I've got pastors that we talk about things. What a church looks like, sounds like, is negotiable. But something for us to never forget is we are the church. We are part of one another. We are part of one another, and there's no way my sore thumb last year, and I give you that example, that sore thumb last year, the whole body suffered. That's why when one of us decided to, it hurts. Unfortunately, they don't understand it. And that's the plan of the enemy. Have you ever watched those documentaries on like Animal Planet? Animal Planet, where they show you the lion going after the prey, right? You don't like that? Some of you guys don't like to watch that. But me, I love watching it. Because I'm like, I'm going to watch how the lion does. But then there's a lesson there. Think about it. The lion never goes where the majority of the deer congregate. The lion always goes after the little one that does the personal. You know what? Oh, I'm independent. The independent one. You know, the one that's like, man, these guys, they stink. I'm just going to go over here and find some fresh food. Right? And the lion's like, yeah, baby. And I tell you, by yourself, and this is the deception the enemy used to convey people to leave the body of Christ. I mean, nowadays you've got people, even some people that used to come here, they decide they're not coming because of things that happened to them here. I didn't hurt them. You did. The building did nothing. I mean, poor building. I'm like, oh, building. What have you done? And then me and the building, we're having a conversation. The building's like, well, Pastor, I did nothing. Because the building is not the church. It's interaction. When we interact with people, we do hurt each other. But because when I understand relationship, when I understand the dynamic of the church, guess what? I'm not going to leave you. We're going to talk about things. We talk about things. I don't know, God gave me that kind of personality. When there's conflict in my life, back in the days before I was restored, I didn't care. I sleep, but not anymore. If I have a conflict to deal with, I don't sleep. I got to fix it. I don't think about it. And on top of it, I know what the word of the Lord says. The Bible says, before you come here and you worship, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh Jesus, you Lord, I give you my heart. Before you sing that, the word says, if you know someone has something against you, stop it. Find that person. Say, hey, sister, brother, I hear you're not happy with me, or apparently I've done something that you're not happy with. What's going on? Fix it. Talk about it. See, the enemy wants you to stay to be like that little deer, independent one. That's how you're going to get eaten. Gone. You'll be lion's food. None of us here wants to be lion's food. That's why the word says, do not abandon the assembly, the community. We are the community. We are the family. See, that's why today, as we continue to talk about we are the church, I don't want you to focus on those that are not returning. We pray for them. I'm like, well, at least they weren't my sheep, you know? But I thank God for you that are stick with it, because you're being healed. We're moving forward. See, the body heal itself. This thumb here, it hurts for months, almost like 7 months, 8 months. But all of a sudden, I don't feel it anymore. Because the body heals itself. And that's the way the body of Christ tend to function. We do hurt each other. But we also heal each other. See? I mean, don't you hate it sometimes when you... It happened to me a couple weeks ago. Man, I'm eating something that's very good. Man, before you know it, I'm chewing my tongue. Oh, man. Oh. And then what happened? Sometimes you eat quick swallow or spit the food out because it's like, oh. And then what happened? This hand went over here, and then the eyes closed, your brain, everything, even if, you know, even your legs are like. Why? Because the teeth bit the tongue. And all of a sudden, you're crying, you can't eat anymore, and everything in your body, focus on the tongue that is hurting. And then you know what? Give it a couple minutes, and then you know, all right. It's still a little sore, right? But then the mouth, the body heal itself. The next day, probably 2 days later, it's gone. See, the church is the body of Christ, of which Christ died and gave his life for. So therefore, that made Christ the head. No one is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We follow Jesus Christ. You see, forgive. Forgive and let go. Any preacher, even those online, because there's some crazy news out there for big teller, evangelist, preachers. Crazy. I don't share those things. I hear them, I read them, I'm like, oh, Jesus, I pray. But if you had someone in your life that misrepresented Jesus, forgive them. Let go. Move on. I seriously said I would hate to be anybody like that. You ask God for grace and the ability to continue to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head, not Pastor so-and-so. I'm not even the head. I'm not the head. Jesus is. So you follow Jesus. That's why I tell you, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Don't come here every Sunday or any time you can come to listen to me. The little time we spent here, that's not enough for you to grow. It's not. What you needed is that personal relationship with Christ. Because if you don't have that, this world, the lion's eating you up. If you don't have that personal relationship with his word, you're not spending time reading his word, meditating his word, applying his word in your attitude, in your everyday life, you're dead. And you're like, man, how come in the last days, the love of many are growing cold? We took our focus off Christ. Discouragement. The love of many will grow cold in the last days. So keep your eyes. Keep your eyes. It's a meter, right? A temperature. Temperature gauge. Check your temperature gauge. See where it's at. Your temperature, your love temperature for Christ. Your passion for Christ. Your passion for righteousness. Your passion for holiness. I mean, almost like it's talking about holiness could be like a hate speech nowadays. Telling people you're not supposed to live in fornication. Adultery is sin. Backstabbing people is sin. Cheating people is sin. God is a holy God. So we must be holy. Telling people, hey, you can't be a hypocrite. Don't talk about people. Don't allow other people talk about people with you. Because sometimes it's not you. Sometimes you don't like to talk, but you like to listen. Don't listen. Tell that person, it's like, you know, that's not right. Why are we always talking about so-and-so? Why don't we pray for them? Plus, it's none of our business, so-and-so. I mean, why are we always talking about X? That's not right. Stuff like that makes me mad. Because the church shouldn't be that way. That's why once people understand what the church is, this community, when we know how to really love people, everybody's going to want to be part of it. Who is not looking for love? Tell me. Who is not looking for acceptance? Who is not looking for people to just be people? Human becoming, I heard that. Where did I hear that? We are human becoming. Human being, yes, sometimes we're not human doing, so you need to chill, relax in the presence of the Lord, learn. But sometimes, man, we're human becoming. Because we're still being transformed, being renewed. That's why the word of the Lord is so important in our lives. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, as the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The body of Christ is made up of all believers of Christ from the day of Pentecost. That's when the church began. You know, and when we talk about the church, biblically, we may regard the church in two ways, what we call the universal church or the local church. The universal church is everybody that goes to church, what they call, consists of everyone or everywhere who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, remember, there is a church called the Church of Satan. Now, because a church called church, that doesn't mean it's part of the Church of Christ. The real church we're talking about here is the church where Christ is the head. And I have a better witness than that. Church, it's the church where the Word of God is being preached. It's the church where the Bible, I believe the Bible is still and will remain the Word of God. Base your life. You know, we have heard a story a couple times, the story of Miles Monroe. I mean, some of you guys know him. I mean, the guy was, he lived his life well. But he grew up poor. He grew up, I mean, one of the school he was going back in the days, you know, they hire an English man who was a white man, and he was racist. So the Englishman was just like telling the kids, black kids, man, you guys are a bunch of monkeys. You can't learn anything. Can you imagine a teacher telling black kids? I mean, that's how evil they were. Even the whole slavery thing, that's evil. Racism is evil. God created us equal, and we all bleed red. But finally, Miles Monroe went home and started crying to his mom. He's like, Mom, this is what the teacher says. You know, I'm worthless. You know, you dumb kid. You know, just monkey. You can't learn anything. And the mom says, no, you're not. And the mom's like, I want you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And he took his mom to his word and started reading. Of course, his mom inserted good self-esteem, but he started reading the Bible. That's how he met Jesus. See, when you know Christ, you know you love knowledge. If you love knowledge, you're going to read your Bible. And I'll never stop telling you this. I'm going to tell you so much that every day you should hear my voice in the back of your head resonating, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Take your pills. Take your pills. Because if you don't take, we talk about that in home group this week. Take your pills. Take your pills. Exercise. Take your pills. You know? You don't eat junk. That's a good one, right? You start hearing me in the back of your head. Yeah, don't eat junk. That's it. It helps us. It saves me. And what we call, I talk about universal church and also the local church. You know, the local church is described in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul and the apostles write to the people in Galatia, says, hey, greet the church that meets in your home. You see, now, a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, or a free church, or whatever church name you could call it in Virginia Beach, Mount Pleasant Church, etc., etc., church, those are a local church. But when you think about it, if those churches, Christ is the head, we are all in the same church. That's why I pray for the churches in Virginia Beach. All the time. During soaking, during the week, when I'm here, I pray. I said, God, I pray for the churches in Virginia Beach, Lord. I pray, Lord, may you find room in those churches. I don't just pray for my church, because this is not my church. It's the Church of Christ. But talking about the Church of Christ being divided in many different small locations, that makes sense. So once again, the church is not a building or a denomination. You know, sometimes like people ask you, know, which denomination are you from? I don't know. Which one you want? Choose one. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three and one. I believe in the Holy Bible. That's my religion. And I read it in James. It says, true religion is to help the orphans. True religion is to help the widows. And to not let the world corrupt you. This is religion. This is my religion. I call me Pentecost. Well, of course, yeah. Why? Well, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Or the easiest way you could answer is, I'm in non-denominational. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. But people, they get so hang up in those things and like, man, I don't like Baptists. I don't like this. I don't like that. Focus on Jesus, the head. Because those religion, they just put people in box and create division. When we focus on Christ being the head, 95% of the things, if we focus on, 95% of the time, we'll agree on most of things. But when we focus on denomination, mind this and that, you know, then we divided. But when I realize I am the church and you are the church, oh, that's a beautiful thing. Christ is the builder. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Christ came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they reply, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, and one of the other prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? And pause right there. See, that's why I believe the Church of Christ cannot function and operate or move forward under what other people think Jesus is. The true Church of Christ needs a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. And I don't know how it is has been for you in the past, but I love it that our church is Christ-centered. Oh yeah, I love it that our ministry is Jesus-centered, the Bible-centered, because that's how our eyes are open. Like Peter here, he said, well, you are the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who came to deliver the people from their sin. Jesus is like, Peter, by the way, it's good to have Peter back. Peter, welcome back. We miss you, brother. Welcome back. He says, Peter, these things, they weren't just revealed to you just like that. God, he says, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And I pray today, this week, as I was preparing this, I said, God, reveal yourself to each one of us here. Reveal yourself. May you know Jesus for who he is. Listen, Gade means listen, all right? Gade, repeat. Gade. I'm teaching you a queer word. You don't want to learn. All right. Gade. Gade, it's just Gade. Listen, but pay attention. Listen. We want a personal revelation of Jesus Christ right now. More than yesterday. You know why? People are trying to change. I don't know if you guys saw a documentary. There's a documentary that talks about Jesus. Jesus died and they're showing his tomb. You know, they show his great grandkids. Crazy stuff. To tell people the Jesus you believe in, he wasn't really God. How deceptive. And you know that there are still today Jews who are still waiting for the Messiah. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build, and repeat with me, my church. My church. So the church wasn't Peter's. Even though there are commentaries, studies that says, all right, Jesus called Peter as the first pastor. Or you remember in John chapter 21, he's like, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Amen. Peter's like, man, I wonder he's really checking me out. Lord, you know, I don't want to. Peter got a little wise there, right? Remember before Jesus died, Peter's like, Lord, I'll die. That time, Peter's like, man, Lord, you know me. You know my heart. You know I want to. And then Jesus is like, yeah, you will. As a matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will. You will receive power. When you do, take care of my sheep. Jesus said, those commentary, they said, well, Jesus, they don't say it. They're just like making an assumption that Jesus was making reference to Peter being the rock of the church, the foundation. But you and I, we know that's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, upon the cornerstone, Christ alone, the cornerstone. That's why our church is built on the cornerstone. This church didn't go down because it was built on the firm foundation. I'm talking about Lenstown Community Church. And I'm not talking about the building, okay? That's why I keep telling you, don't look at the numbers. Focus on the presence of the Lord. Be excited on doing life together. Be excited on going to home groups. If you can't drive at night, let us know. We'll come to you. Because we understand some of you cannot drive at night. But get involved in a home group. We're praying, we're asking, Lord, thank you for kids ministers. Thank you for youth leaders. Because those are important. Our kids are, you know, we want the kids. We want to teach them. That's the way we roll it. Because Christ is the foundation. But I love this. It says, I will build my church and the power of hell will not conquer it. And the power of hell will not conquer it. Isn't it funny? And kind of crazy too, that everybody wants to hear from a prophet. You remember the prophetic movement that's been going around? Everybody, nobody, they don't know God. That's how it is in Haiti as well. It's like they call those people Ouga, a rich doctor. They want to hear from a rich doctor, a preacher. You know, people are like, all right, I see God says tomorrow it's going to be dark all day. And the crazy thing is people believe it. The craziest thing is tomorrow, it's not dark all day, they still didn't kill those false prophets. Crazy stuff are happening. That's why we keep our eyes focused on the Lord. But Jesus prophesied it. He said, the power of hell will not conquer it. And that's the church I'm so proud to be part of. Amen. I'm proud to be part of the church that the power of hell will not conquer it. Hallelujah. That's it. Be excited about that church. You know, be excited. I tell you, in the past 2 weeks, I was so discouraged. I was. I'm not lying. Because I was offended on some of the things that happened to the body of Christ here. I was never in a position like this. I mean, our church in Haiti, when we went there, we started with 20 people. We built, but the foundation was, I had nobody, I mean, the pastor before me died. And 48 people died in the earthquake. The church only had like, 60 people? 60, something like that, 80. But most of the people died because during the earthquake there was a service. 5 in the afternoon, there was a service. 48 of them died with the pastor and his wife. I mean, it was bad. But we went and partnered with the Holy Spirit, and we saw it. Hard ground, religious culture. Here, hard ground, not so religious. But you still have the same people who needs the Lord. And I tend to do nothing else but to partner with the Holy Spirit and focus on the head. So the Lord says, I told you last week, Jesus said, you can't save people, I save. So chill, dude. Because I'm the type of leader that, I mean, guys, when I'm dreaming, I can't sleep, I've got ideas, I'm like, let's go! And I'm like 100 miles an hour, right? Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm like, okay, Jesus, chill, 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 chill. Chill, chill. So I'm chilling. I'm learning. I'm loving. And we're doing this together. How about that? So we're going to go out to the next room, and we're going to eat together. We're going to celebrate, talking, just celebrate who Christ is. Be excited about the church. Be excited about your church. Be excited about what God is doing. Jesus is coming back. He might come back tomorrow. Or he might call me or you home tomorrow. Let's walk. Let's live our life ready. You know, live your life ready. You know, get rid of sin. Get rid of bitterness. I'm free from bitterness. I don't hate anybody. I forgive them. I forgive them. I mean, I'm going to finish with this one story because I still have time. But I'm going to finish with this one story. So this is a testimony, actually. Some people, you know, I have one of my spiritual sons. I didn't, you know, some people you inherit spiritually, but some people you birth them. Like you prayed for them, you lead them to the Lord, you baptize them. This guy, I didn't, but then since the earthquake, we really had a good thing going. And I invest a lot of energy, and he was good, and I think he's still good. I pray for him every day. But then a couple months ago, he decided he wants to leave Haiti. And the guy was my right hand in the ministry we have going on there. But then the problem is, he assumed that once he left Haiti, I would still continue to support him financially, taking care of him and allow him to make trips back and forth. After I think about it, I'm like, well, I can't do that. First of all, you're not there. Second of all, I don't want you to travel from Port-au-Prince to the DR because it's not safe. Plus, there are other people that are rising up. I should be taking care of them, and I can't be able to, you know, story long, making it short. That was a nightmare. So we tried to bless him. We tried to, thinking about, for the first time in 10 years, my eyes opened. I'm like, wow, I never saw that he had the mentality of entitlement. I don't owe you all this. But I'm trying to just be a good leader, just a big good friend. Guys, the guy left. I even sent support when he left. I sent 3 messages and he never answers. He's not talking to me since. And not only that, he's cut in relationship with a bunch of people. And he's talking. I'm like, wow. You know, that hurts. I didn't see that coming. You know? But what am I going to do? Am I going to be bitter? Am I going to be so hurt that I can't move on? No. I took the position of the prodigal father. Pray, and maybe he'll come to his senses. And if he does, I'll be like this. Oh, man. And then we'll talk about it. What happened? But is it easy? It's not easy. That's why whatever you do, work, kids, you know, career, you know, some of you guys are just growing, teenagers, you know, you've got what they say your whole life before you. Sometimes they think they do. Think about keeping your focus on the head. Christ, who's the head of the church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are building your church and you are doing it so well here in Lenstown Community Church. God, I pray for those that are watching online that they would understand. You know, watching online is good, but just like being part of it here physically. Lord, we thank you for just the workers that you're bringing in your kingdom here in Lenstown. Not only here, but other churches in the community that needs workers. Father, as we go to the next room to continue to fellowship with one another, may your presence be with us, cover us. May your grace follow us. May your name be glorified in that. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name as we go, even after we're done eating, to go home and continue to with our activities. May your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, dwell with our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, and if you agree, you said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Make it a great day. Let's go eat. How about that? I like that.